contract.
Former Black Panther Albert Woodfox speaking on Democracy Now! In 2019, shortly after the publication of his award-winning book, Solitary. Unbroken by four decades in solitary confinement, my story of transformation and hope. He died Thursday of COVID at the age of 75. We will all remember Albert Woodfox. I'm Amy Goodman.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. And it's time now for Real World. Mike Sargent, this is Real World, and I'm going to talk to you about four films that open this week. The first is, of course, now that we are deep in summer, the summer blockbuster, Bullet Train.
Deer Creek International Business Solutions, how can I help you?
I am ready.
Well, that's great, Ladybug.
Ladybug?
Your new operational name.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Ladybug's supposed to be lucky.
You don't have bad luck.
Really? My bad luck is biblical. I'm not even trying to kill people and someone dies. Remember the suicidal bellboy?
You drove him to the hospital.
Hang in there, buddy!
And he didn't die.
Okay, the wedding.
Tequila?
Johannesburg. It's time for some change.
You want it simple for your first job back? Doesn't get simpler.
We need to find a person who took that case.
That's too easy.
What?
Remember those two wackos from the Bolivia job?
The twins?
Yeah, not so sure they're twins.
Get off the train.
You stab me?
I will never stop coming for you.
What?
I missed my stop.
Something else going on here.
Hi. You don't remember me.
You look like every white homeless man I've ever seen.
Really? You don't remember me?
Shh. He's a bag of d***s, lady. I'm sorry. I'm working on it.
Get off at the next stop.
Sounds so easy when you say it.
One little prick from this, you know what happens?
Yes.
Your blood congeals, clogging your veins.
I said yes! Balls.
You guys who want to hear the whole story.
What's waiting for us in Kyoto?
The White Death, with his army of assassins.
There's this soulless psychotic leader with the largest criminal organization on the planet shoved right inside us.
I don't see the White Death letting any of us off this train.
We need to come up with a plan.
I'm gonna hurt people.
What's happening to your face? Maybe there was a little head trauma?
Maybe.
I,
I gotta get off this train. Sorry, buddy.
Exclusively in movie theaters.
Bullet Train is a new action film starring Greg Pitt and Joey King. Now, a couple things about this film. It takes place, as you probably heard, on a bullet train, and he plays an assassin nicknamed Ladybug. He's something of an unlucky assassin, and he happens to be on a train to fulfill a mission. But there are five other assassins all on the train, and they all have something in common. Now, this film is directed by director David Leitch. David Leitch is a former stunt coordinator who made his directorial debut with his partner, Chad Stahelski, who went on to do the rest of the John Wick films, on the original John Wick film. Since then, he did Atomic Blonde, Deadpool 2, and The Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. So, when it comes to action movies, choreography, the action in this movie is great. And Brad Pitt could be John Wick, he could be Deadpool, he could be any wisecracking hero that we've seen in a million movies. Brad Pitt's a little bit older at this point, so this is kind of where we are. We're always going to see these action heroes who are in their mid to late 50s, early 60s in the case of Liam Neeson. He's pushing 70 at this point. But this is a specific kind of genre. This is a star-studded action comedy. And when I say star-studded, so many people are in this film. Besides Brad Pitt, there's Sandra Bullock, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Michael Shannon, Logan Lerman, Zazie Beetz. Everybody shows up in this movie at some point. But as you notice, I named all these names, and there are only a few. Hiroyuki Sanada, Andrew Koji Masioka, who you may remember from Heroes, and maybe a few other names not on the marquee who play background characters. The reason that's something of an issue is because Bullet Train is based on a novel by a writer named Kotaro Isaka. Now, he's known for writing this type of thing. This is the 14th film adaptation of his work. Prior to this, though, they've been mostly Asian films, either Japanese or Korean. But this is the first American-made adaptation of one of his films, or one of his novels, I should say. And of course, in his books, these characters were not white, like almost all of the main characters now in this film adaptation are. At the time that the casting was announced, there was a lot of pushback about the casting. Now, Bullet Train had originally been developed by Antoine Fuqua, who is an African-American director who's done a number of great films. And it was originally going to be something violent and dark and R-rated like Die Hard. But they started to move towards a more lighthearted action comedy kind of thing. And then they brought in a different director, and Antoine Fuqua remains a producer on this film. Bullet Train reminds me of another film called Smoke and Aces from maybe 10, 15 years ago, which was another star-studded action comedy with, you know, an A-list star at the time. I believe it was Ben Affleck and a bunch of co-stars, character actors, and even the first starring role, I believe, of Alicia Keys. And in this case, we've got the first appearance in a film for Bad Bunny, who plays another assassin in this film. Not to mention a lot of wannabe Tarantino-esque, snappy, hopefully funny dialogue. It's enjoyable, but it definitely doesn't do anything you haven't seen before. And if you like action comedies, you'll love it. Is there anything particularly special about it? In my opinion, no. It seems in many ways like it wants to be Guy Ritchie. And I think David Leitch does his own thing in terms of choreography. And the fight scenes, like I said, are great. And he knows how to film them. He knows where to put the camera. And he knows how to set up the choreography. Always looks good. It always seems believable. And it's always fun. It's fun. It's like a ballet, like watching a Jackie Chan movie. But at the same time, in terms of storytelling, it's a little overly plotted, as movies from novels often are. But at the end of the day, you could do a lot worse on a summer afternoon. That's what's playing in theaters right now. on streaming as opposed to theaters, there's another blockbuster film. And this one is the new installment of the Predator series. But this one's a prequel, and it's called Prey.
Why do you want to hunt?
Because you all think that I can't. I saw a sign in the sky. I'm ready.
Muy, Nika. There's something out there. I'm coming with you.
You can't.
I'm trying to protect you.
Protect me from what?
It's time.
Now, this version of The Predator is from a filmmaker called Dan Trachtenberg. And for those who are fans of the genre, they know he did 10 Cloverfield Lane, which was the sequel to Cloverfield, which in itself was sort of a revolutionary, low-budget, high-concept monster movie. Now, this is an origin story of The Predator. The Predator comes back 300 years ago and encounters some badass Native Americans, and particularly a female Native American who wants to be a warrior, wants to be a hunter, like most of the men are, and not fit the traditional role within the Comanche tribe that she's in. Her name is Naru, and she is played by Amber Midthunder. Amber Midthunder she's great. She's great in the film. She's very watchable. She's a good actress. She reminds me a lot of Aubrey Plaza, actually, when you look at her. But the cast is all indigenous for the most part, with the exception of a few minor characters. And there is a version of the film that is in full Comanche, which is an interesting thing, though I think it's been dubbed. But this is a film that takes place basically Native Americans versus the Predator. Now, it's a Predator movie. So I was never a big fan of the Predator movies. They always seem to be kind of big-budget B-movies to me. The first Predator, the second Predator, I was never a huge fan. Actually, I liked a lot Aliens vs. Predator. I think that's the best Predator movie for me of all the Predator movies, which surprised me because I didn't expect it to be. But that also had a female protagonist. I like this movie more than I expected to. It's definitely enjoyable. It's definitely a lot of fun. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense in terms of all the rules of how a predator is set up and what he's wearing and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But it's an enjoyable sci-fi action film in a different kind of setting. It's really enjoyable to see indigenous people on screen having these characters do things we've traditionally seen white folks do in a bazillion big-budget B-movies. So I enjoy this film quite a bit. The next film I'm going to talk about is only streaming as well, and it's a documentary called Mr. Candid Camera.
furthest from a practical joker anybody can possibly be.
My dad was a complex guy who was fascinated by life's simple things. Now, he didn't just create a TV show, he invented an entire genre.
I was always attracted to things that I overheard.
His goal was enlightenment through entertainment.
That's real, and that is true reality television, and I think that's his legacy.
Alan Ford.
As tough as Alan was to work with, he believed that humanity was good and wanted to show that.
Alan, I want to see him. You look so dignified. You look so distinguished. You look like a fatherly, intelligent. Well, you like a wise man. I don't want to say you are, but you look like a wise man.
This hijacker sticks his head out of the door. And what the heck do they do? But everybody applauds.
This is it. This is the formula.
I think everybody has heard of Candid Camera, whether you grew up during the time when Candid Camera was actually on the air. Now, I didn't grow up when it first was on, but I was definitely around in the 70s when it was still a thing and they were doing these specials and whatnot. And smile, you're on Candid Camera. I mean, who doesn't know that song? What's fascinating is who Alan Funt was, how he stumbled upon doing this, and essentially created what we now know as reality TV. But very different time, very different sensibilities, very different reason for doing things. It's really a fascinating documentary. It's amazing when you see the documentary and learn so much about Alan Funt, what he did, how he's perceived within the culture, how celebrities felt about him, the people that were part of Candid Camera. I didn't even know Carol Burnett was one of the, you know, one of the actors that would be part of the pranks in Camera. But Carol Burnett, Fannie Flagg, Howie Mandel, so many other people. And it's written and directed by Alan Funt's son, Peter Funt. Alan Funt, in my opinion, is such a fascinating character. There's so many things about him, his connection to African-Americans and African-American culture and his time in the armed forces, how he began in the business, some things he did politically that were definitely frowned upon. It's just so many things you're going to find out about the man that are just interesting, that really make you admire. And then it's amazing to realize that he never won an Emmy, never won a Peabody, never won Golden Globe, none of that. But everybody knows who he is. So it's a pretty fascinating documentary. I'm glad it's been made. It just came out August 2nd on pretty much on all the digital platforms. In terms of the craft of filmmaking, it is not the most sophisticatedly made or clearly the biggest budget documentary. And those shortcomings, though, you will overlook. Because though it's a straightforward documentary and there could have been more, let's just say, style or it could have used a bit more editing, let's just say. But I loved every minute of it. I recommend it. I think that Mr. Candid Camera is absolutely worth your time. It's great to learn about someone who you sort of just take for granted existed. Yeah, that happened. It did. You didn't really consider how much maybe you have watching shows like Punk'd and all these other shows that have been derivatives of Candid Camera since then, but just the concept and how he started actually in radio with a candid microphone, which as a radio person I definitely can relate to. I recommend Mr. Candid Camera. The last film we're going to talk about is a film called Luck.
Good luck to us both.
Oh! I blame bad luck for everything that's gone wrong in my life.
You sure have bad luck, Sam Greenfield.
Ugh, take that, universe.
Oh!
Until I found an actual lucky penny. Something that could finally turn my life around.
And what did I do?
I flushed it down the toilet.
You flushed my penny down the toilet!
You just talked. Wait! I just need another penny. Whoa!
Always with the obnoxiously long password.
Humans cannot be here.
Where's here?
The land of luck.
I'll leave as soon as you give me another lucky penny.
You best start blending in.
Hello.
Mighty leprechaun Fräulein. Well done, nature.
This is where good luck is born.
A dragon?
She's the only creature that can sniff out bad luck.
There's bad luck here, too.
Good luck on top, bad luck on the bottom.
The tiniest amount of bad luck can shut down our entire operation.
Just how unlucky are you?
Oh, no. Super duper unlucky?
You cause a disaster.
The good luck connection has been severed.
Doom you and everyone else to a life of bad luck. We need to fix this.
What are you doing here?
Good luck to us both. What about Jeff?
Unstyle, yeah, style. Go down there.
I have no words.
Luck is the latest film from Skydance, and it's being released by Apple Original Films, so it's in theaters and on Apple TV Plus. And it's the story of Sam Greenfield, Sam being a girl, or being a woman, a young woman, who is the unluckiest person in the world. And while that's a bit of an extreme statement to say, when we meet her, she definitely has a lot of bad luck. She happens to meet a magical creature, a black cat, that, without giving away too much of the how this all happens, we, similar to Inside Out and Soul, we find out just how good luck and bad luck are distributed around the world. And who's in charge of good luck, who's in charge of bad luck. And in the land of good luck, it's a dragon voiced by Jane Fonda. In the land of bad luck, well, I'll let you know what's down there when you see. Well, you'll find out when you watch it. The thing about luck is that it's very pleasant. It's G-rated. It's got some nice voice work from Jane Fonda and Lil Ray Howery and John Ratzenberger, who's done a voice in every Pixar film. And interestingly enough, it's the first feature film to be produced by John Lasseter, the fallen head of Pixar, who was brought down during the Me Too movement for a number of things that he was accused of, that not all came to light, but let's just say enough that all his ties with Disney and Pixar, the company that he helped build, were cut. And then he got hired by Skydance 3 years ago. So he's quietly been working on this, and this is as sanitized as it gets. It's wholesome. It's got good messages. It's a fine animated film. The only thing about it is that it is oddly flat. The animation's fine. There's lots of little ideas in there, but none of the jokes really land. And in some ways, I wonder if I were a child, I would get some of the complications of the plot and how things are set up. I think this is a fine film. It's a good, solid kids film. It's well animated, well acted, well drawn, well conceived. But there's nothing magical about it. There's nothing really special about it. There's nothing about it that will make you, I think, ever want to see it again after watching it once. And I think that's unfortunate in some ways, because I think we've kind of been in a golden age of animation, and maybe that time is waning now that every studio has a digital animation. And this is the first film out of Skydance since the Ice Age, and since, you know, all of that has gone away. So I hope that the next film that Skydance puts out is better, because I've heard they've got a great one in the works. I thought this one was solid, but nothing special. I'm Mike Sargent. This has been Real World. I'm here on Fridays from 6:30 to 7 p.m. to tell you what's out in theaters and streaming, and what you should spend your time with, and maybe what you shouldn't. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider making a pledge in the name of Real World. You can go online to WBAI.org. Right there, you can find all kinds of ways to pledge. Or you can go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org. Or you can call right now. This is easier, 212-209-2950, and say, hey, I enjoyed that film show. Let me make a pledge. Let me not just make a pledge. Let me become a BAI buddy in the name of Real World for $25 a month. That would be great. Until next time, I will see you at the movies.
Produced and hosted by Malika Lee Whitney will be heard on Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Untitled presents features on the arts, culture, education, and social issues. You will also enjoy music from a variety of genres. Special guests complement the program with insightful and engaging conversation. That's Untitled, Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. over listener-sponsored, non-commercial, WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
$0.33 a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that $0.33 a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as $0.33 a day. $10 a month. You can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on Donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
Program was Real World with Mike Sargent, heard Fridays at 6:30 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. And coming up shortly will be Radio GBE NYC with Imhotep Gary Bird. Before we do that, just wanted to share a bit of information for those people who haven't heard this announcement yet, but reason why I'm about to share this with you. So remember last month when we was talking about there was going to be a transmitter maintenance shutdown at 4 Times Square. That was going to take a couple of days. That will last for a couple of days. Well,